Hi everyone, welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive, and it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with some industry leaders to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So let's dive right in. I'm thrilled to welcome back two of my very favorites, not only valued colleagues of mine at Cox Automotive, but frequent guests here on Unjaded. Micah Tendor, our Senior Director of Strategic Planning for KBB ICO, and David Lumpkin, Senior Director of Inside Business Development. And I've asked them to join me today so that we can talk about a very hot topic, a hot topic that I just returned from the MRC conference and Used Car Week, and just about every session speaker, dealer, and OEM mentioned, including our good buddy, one of the smartest in the industry, president of NADA, and that is, what is next now that the election is behind us? And for the sake of this discussions and those that I have heard, I want to level set first. This is not a political discussion. We are speaking today about the fact that the election is over and what are the likely outcomes and things that dealers in our industry need to face, need to have top of mind, and need to prepare for. And each one of us will represent a different point of view for franchise dealers and OEMs. David's going to cover from the vantage point of independent dealers, and then Micah and I are also going to contribute some thoughts from a fixed ops perspective. So welcome, Micah and David, to this extra special episode.
Thank you.
So David and Micah, now that the election's over, I want to talk first about the economy. Given the recent election results, how do you foresee the changes in economic policies affecting inflation and consequently the auto industry? And I'd love for you, after you answer that, to also share any strategies you feel dealers can lean into based on your answer. So Micah, I'm going to start with you.
Jade, great to be here. I think it's one of the most interesting and pressing topics at the time, beneficially for Trump. He is entering office at a time when most economists are predicting the inflation rate is going to continue to decline in 2025. And while the Fed is powering that with their 25 basis point cut at the last Fed meeting, and most economists are expecting another cut at this meeting. So as Trump's moving into office, he's brought with him a lot of statements of where he's going to take the economy, but he has that tailwind behind him of decreasing inflation already. And what is interesting is it's really that inflation that's kept a lot of the automotive consumers on the sidelines. There was a Newsweek study at the beginning of this year looking at the census results, and they said they thought 60% of consumers could not afford a vehicle. And it's because of that, that inflation element driving up the cost of everything. So as we see that come down, I think that Trump's really going to benefit from that, regardless of what economic policies he's deploying. Two things I think dealers really need to pay attention to as we expect the economy to heat up a little bit is one is to be really sharp on appraised values. We'll probably talk about it more going forward, but over 24% of consumers are underwater on their loans. So you got to be really sharp in the appraisal to make sure you can leverage that equity into a purchase as those consumers come off the sidelines. And then secondly, the fixed ops side needs to be aware that they're going to see an increase in work they're going to have to do on these trade-ins. The average consumer age vehicle now is extended to 12.6 years. Six straight years, we've seen the average age of vehicle on the road increase. So there's going to be more fixed ops needs. It's going to take a little longer for the dealer pay work. David, what are your thoughts? So you're talking to a lot of dealers these days. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from them?
Well, not only dealers, but a little bit on the consumer side also. So I just want to share a personal note that we're about 2 weeks past the election now. And since the election, I feel like in the last 2 weeks, I have gotten more texts and phone calls from friends and family asking a similar question. Is it safe now? Is now the time to buy a car? And I think our dealers are seeing that. We are certainly seeing it in our data that our site metrics are up, as I believe they are across many platforms. So we are seeing the truth that consumer sentiment is up. Their ability to purchase is, however, a little unknown. I'm likely going to reference this quite a bit today, as I feel like between now and Inauguration Day, we're in this gray area where we don't, and a little bit of the fog, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen when we get to Inauguration Day, but we have some good ideas. And consumers, I think, are feeling the same thing. They're feeling more confident. They have seen and felt inflation fall somewhat, or they're hearing about it, and they're feeling more confident to purchase. And so it's also one of those times right now where our dealers really need to prepare for the changes that will come and be really flexible and nimble right now with their inventory and be overly aggressive and helping move off a lot of things that they overpurchased in earlier this year. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of dealers is how can I move out of this inventory to best prepare myself for what is going to happen or what is going to change next year. So right now, in my opinion, hearing it from the dealers is how can we be flexible and how can we be nimble as we move into 2025?
Yeah, I think the short of that is be ready to take action. Get off of pause. Right. Consumers, dealers, everybody have been on pause for a while. It is time to move forward. So mm-hmm. I love the recommendations that you both just gave us, and I think we should take them one step further. And as we've all shared, dealers, especially independent, have been saying all year, and consumers have too, we're waiting for the election to be over. We're not making any big decisions until after the election is behind us. It was a little interesting to me, but you know, I surely understand that when there's so much uncertainty, it's hard for consumers to make these big decisions. And we actually see every year after a presidential election that consumer sentiment increases. It's almost a guarantee, which is really good for automotive because when consumer sentiment is high, people get off the fence and they're excited to move forward. So I want to ask each of you, how do you see the market behaving right now? And then most likely, how will it behave in the coming year? And how can dealers prepare for those potential market shifts in the coming months? So Micah, I want you to answer first, and then we'll let David share his thoughts.
I think to David's earlier point, the election is finalized. Who we're going to have at the helm is finalized. But what has really held back the consumers of coming off the sidelines is affordability. And that hasn't really changed that much over the couple weeks since the election. So what we're going to see in 2025 is as the rates come down, we're going to see a considerable amount of consumers come off the sidelines. And Google's actually said that they think 50% of consumers globally need to buy a car in the next 2 years. So this is going to be probably a historic level of interest surging back into the market. And we're probably going to talk about this more later, so I'm not going to go too in depth. But as there is a very different tone on what EV support is going to look like amongst automakers and EV quote unquote mandates going to look like for automakers, dealers are probably going to find a lot of interest around ICE vehicles still. But that means they still need to figure out what they're doing with EVs. They need to figure out where their OEM's going with their EV strategy, and do they need to drive a really heavy EV set of learnings? Yeah. And then the last thing is, as these consumers come in from the sidelines, I think something very interesting that we're not talking about enough is the negative equity position. There was a S&P Global Mobility study that came out just recently that said 54% of consumers right now are at 120% or more of loan to equity value. So theoretically, 54% of consumers are underwater. And it's great that we're going to see a flood of people come off the sidelines, but I'm not sure we as the dealer community are ready to work with what should be around 50% of the people needing help getting out of their vehicle to finance into another vehicle.
Yeah, that's a whole thread of training that our dealership leadership teams need to be making sure that every salesperson is armed to have that conversation and to be ready to put customers on the right vehicles that can absorb that negative equity. So there's definitely an art and a science to that that we will surely talk about more. We'll have you back soon for another discussion on that one, Micah. David, how about you on that topic?
Yeah, I want to follow up with something that Micah said that certainly rings true, that now that what we're seeing on the consumer side is consumers saying, okay, again, the anxiety's dropped a little bit because we know who, again, is at the helm. So that anxiety's dropped a little bit. There may now be some new anxieties of, well, who's now going to be making certain decisions that affect my finances? So that could be holding back a little bit still. But again, we're seeing this uptick and lift in consumer interest on our platforms. So we're seeing this increase in research as getting closer and closer to pulling that trigger of making a purchase. A lot of people that have held back over the course of this year. So we should see, the data says we should see a big influx in these purchases. Again, great time to offload a lot of that stuff that a lot of dealers have been anchored with over the course of this year. But again, for a strategy for our, whether independent or franchise, if you are connected with some great banks and you have some great opportunities that a lot of the public might not be aware of, you need to market that right now. You need to let consumers know what is affordable and what they can purchase at. I don't have the exact data point. I bet Micah's got it somewhere in that very big brain of his, that of knowing exactly what finance rates really get consumers kind of tip over the edge to move a little bit. And us getting that data out there, as in the dealer body, and letting consumers know their rates have moved, and actually putting out those payment options, as we know how many of our consumers are payment driven, they need to see that today more than ever to move forward. Because that's where I think that's where a lot of the hesitation still is. And Micah might be able to talk more to this point, that when we still haven't seen the rates really move that much yet. I was talking with Micah, a little sidebar, that the only bank I've seen move so far that I've been able to find is my credit union. The big banks, I haven't seen that big of a fluctuation where the consumer's going to say, that made a difference in my calculator of $5 or $10. We're not seeing those big rate moves yet. And I think that's also where we're still seeing that hesitation and taking that next step forward in the consumer side.
I want to add one thing to that. Oh, sorry, Micah, I'll add one and then would love for you to weigh in more on that. So we are seeing a lot of OEM incentives and OEM captive lender rates start to get really aggressive. And David, you said it well. My takeaway from everything there that you just mentioned is that dealers need to be creating urgency right now for consumers. The election is behind them. The sentiment is up. They're doing all of this great shopping activity. But a lot of them are waiting to pull the trigger because they believe that more rate increases are imminent once the new administration is in. They believe that they're going to have more money in their pockets. We're seeing that in research not related to automotive. But I think the key is, if our dealers can have the right talk tracks to use, year-end pricing, supply and demand imbalance, consumers being in the driver's seat, our talk tracks around omnichannel experiences, but to remind consumers that rates have already come down, take advantage of that now, and very few auto loans in today's environment have any kind of prepayment penalty. So if rates go down again mid-year next year, year and a half, 18 months from now, they can go refinance those loans with no penalty. And so I think the key is having why buy messaging and educating customers in every opportunity that dealerships have to do business, that it's okay to do it right now. Get off the fence. The uncertainty is gone. Consumer sentiment is up. Now is the time to buy a car, because dealers are trying to move aged inventory because of all the consumers that were sitting on the fence for the last 3 months waiting for the election. So it is a better time than ever. And if rates do come down again and they do have more money in their pockets a year from now, refinance it. Go ahead and move forward. Micah, what would you like to add to that?
I would just say, David mentioned advertising rate. I think that we're seeing a lot of dealers have success with advertising monthly payment. I've heard you talk about that before. Is there anything you want to add around leveraging the payment side and making sure clients are aware of that? Because a lot of times you can help guide the rate conversation on the monthly payment element. And it doesn't have to be that I have this sweet rate and I'm going to advertise, but I have a monthly payment below where you need to be.
Yeah, the biggest point that I'll add there is very few consumers. If you haven't bought a car in the last 1 or 2 years, consumers have no idea the loan terms that are available. So the number of terms that are now 6, 7, 8, even some 10-year options out there. And Micah, you mentioned it earlier, the average vehicle on the road, 12.6 years old now. Just amazing. But these cars, they last a long time. The materials that are being used give them really roadworthy life cycles. And so even that, I think, are just, it's education and talk tracks that every salesperson or BDC rep or internet or e-commerce representative that has the opportunity to interact with consumer, their lips need to be loaded with all of these things to educate customers and to get them on the payment discussion, because everybody is concerned. We say it in automotive all the time, but when you're closing the deal, reduce to the ridiculous. If you're $200 a month away on payment, but you can help them realize, you extend that loan term and you get down to where it's a dollar or two a day difference in what they're going to be paying to have a vehicle that now is under manufacturer's warranty or has a great extended service contract on it, so that they don't have to worry about unforeseen expenses, that has better gas mileage. How far do they drive? If it's somebody that drives, 10 or 15 miles each way to work each day, with the cost of gas right now, you can do that math. That $3 to $5 a day difference in payment to get them into something 10 or 12 years newer that has warranty on it, that has more peace of mind and coverage, that they're actually going to net better at the end of the day, every single day with this newer vehicle, because of payment terms and gas mileage efficiencies. So all kinds of things. So we need to have our teams put that on a list. We'll do a quick unjaded episode on that very soon around talk track salespeople should have related to selling with payments, reducing to the ridiculous, and making sure that they're looking for the full efficiency as they're having or closing a deal in today's environment, creating the urgency so that people aren't sitting on the fence waiting until Q1. So now let's jump into another hot topic. At the MRC conference I just attended, the NADA president talked about all three of these in length. And I want to have a discussion around how these will most likely impact franchise dealers, independents, fixed ops, and the dealer business, and operational decisions as a whole. So when it comes to admin policies on the cars legislation, emissions, tariffs, EVs, there will be policy changes and critical decisions to make that are going to influence the future, even tax policies for 2026 and beyond. And so by December, we should know if we're going to be worried about taxes, tariffs, trade. Let's start with you, Micah. Anything that you would like to share with our audience on those topics?
I think we're all aware that the Biden administration put some pretty heavy tariffs on the EVs coming out of China. And I think the big threat that everyone looks at from an EV perspective is, are cheap Chinese EVs coming in? I should say economical Chinese EVs, you know, $15,000 standard, maybe $35,000 luxury EVs entering the market. And we know that Biden had 100% tariff on EVs, 25% on battery. What we're seeing from Trump is he's messaging those are going to increase, and he's messaging that he might take a peek at closing what could be the USMCA, Mexico-US-Canada loophole, where we are seeing a number of Chinese EV manufacturers invest into Mexico right now, which theoretically gives them the ability to bring that vehicle into the US at a much lower tariff rate. And we think that Trump is probably going to take a look at that. One thing, though, that I will say that dealers really need to think about is, as the government's policy on EV is going to shift under Trump, at least its message is going to shift, dealers still need to figure out what that means for them. Many dealers are aligned to OEMs that have to still drive a heavy EV policy because of the EU. Most OEMs have put massive investment into EV already, and there is market demand. There are over 10 million EVs on the road right now. Almost 8% of vehicles sold in any given month are EVs. So there still is some consumer demand. So both from a sales and fixed op perspective, dealers need to really think through, do we have a robust enough strategy for what our OEM is going to do in 25 with EVs, regardless of where the federal policy goes around EVs. One quick thing on the cars front, and then I'm going to flip it to David here. We don't know what's going to happen with cars, but the idea of providing a consumer an out-the-door payment up front is something that consumers love. Anytime you ask consumers what do they want, it's transparency on pricing, either trade-in or on what they're going to buy. They want transparency. So anyone who's moving that way in preparation has a bit of a competitive advantage in market, and I would advise dealers to think through whether the government requires or not, if it should be something they choose to do, to have a competitive advantage matching the consumer's need for transparency in market right now.
Yeah, that's it. Before you weigh in, David, my big call out there is meet the consumer where they are. You're going to hear us say a lot in the coming months. There is not a one-size-fits-all solution, talk track, marketing approach, operational process for any one of these things. It varies by brand, by OEM, by vehicle type, engine type. And so we need to keep that in mind, that we've got to start getting really segmented for how we train and how we market, how we advertise, and how we meet consumers where they are. David, go ahead.
So on the EV front, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic not only about where the pricing strategies need to go for EV, what costs are going to be associated to the dealers, costs associated are, you know, passed on then to the consumer. I'm cautiously optimistic in stocking strategies. Like, as I put that cautious piece with it, is that our dealers, there is an opportunity here in EV because there is a large pool of consumers that are very interested in EV. But our dealers have to be incredibly educated in that pre-owned, especially on the pre-owned side, in the pre-owned EV market, how to educate these consumers who are hungry for education on what EV is right for me. What are all these things now about batteries? Where do I find out all this information? Where do I get my car charged? What is the true cost savings of this EV? This kind of goes back to an earlier point of, we have to educate our consumers, and we can't rely on other sources. We have to do it ourselves as the dealer. So Jade, to a point you just made also, is that we have to load the lips of our sales teams, of those individuals representing our dealerships, on how to speak to the EV market. So I want to take a ton of thoughts I have on this and try to summarize it to this point, that if our, especially on the independent side, if our independent dealers are going to try to invest with into the EV market, they are going to have to make sure they are on top of their game. They're going to be best in class in the knowledge that they have, the knowledge their staff has, and most importantly, how they market that inventory. And they are going to have to partner with outside partners to get to that data that they are going to need to pass on to their consumers. I am slightly worried about affordability. That's my biggest concern in the EV world right now is affordability for the American consumer. And I think that's going to potentially be the biggest hiccup in this particular segment.
Sure. Let's stay on affordability for just a minute. And I agree, you know, we've said for a long time, education, affordability, infrastructure, you know, were our biggest hurdles to large EV adoption. But affordability now is a challenge across the board. So, you know, with the risk and what cars should dealers be acquiring for retail to have what consumers want and vehicles that they can get the most profit on. So, Micah and David, I want to ask you a few questions here and all focused around affordability. But what are some of the current trends in the used car market regarding affordability and risk, and how can dealers balance the need for affordability with the risk associated with really how fast the market is fluctuating right now? Micah, let's have you go first.
The risk we see is what I mentioned earlier of how many consumers are underwater. I mean, if you have 54% of people at 120% of loan to equity ratio, we know that 24.4% of people are underwater. And the average underwater is at a record high, $6,418 underwater. Plus, we know that 18.1% of people are on a 84-month loan. So naturally, that's going to lead to affordability being a challenge for a while. And what I think it means from a dealer perspective is we have to be more individualized. And I think both of you mentioned something similar to this earlier. Historically, we go out and we talk to our 20 groups, we talk to our OEM, we talk to our buddies who own a dealership and help inform our strategy. That is going to become less and less likely a viable path as each OEM has a different EV plan. As we're starting to see certain OEMs are flexing and pulling back, as the government's likely going to remove the EV tax credit and likely move the emissions credits that would drive someone to having a 35% EV penetration by 2023, that likely means that you can't go to your buddy who runs a Ford dealership if you're a Honda dealership and compare and contrast because the strategy is going to be different.
That's right.
Also, affordability hits differently in urban versus rural areas. And if you're consulting urban versus rural, it's going to hit different. So the number one thing that I'm talking through with dealers right now is how do you return to being unique to you? We all need to source the information of the market, but the market is more disparate now. And if we source the wrong disparate piece for what should my stocking strategy be, should I move to a 20% strategy of under 10K vehicles, which is where it's significant demand right now is under 10K vehicles because of the affordability crisis. But more and more what I'm hearing dealers say is I need to be in almost my own little bubble where it's me or like market and like OEM dealers. And then I need to consult the heck out of the industry people, my CSM coming in, my PM coming in, who can map those like dealers to me and help me set my strategy. But overall, affordability is going to be a challenge. Dealers need to build a stocking strategy to match the affordability, but it now has to be very unique to their region and their OEM.
Yes, there is no such thing as one size fits all. No. David, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, stocking strategy. And Mike and I could probably talk about this for hours, is that stocking strategy is going to be everything in 2025 and the ability to be nimble to match that affordability. So I put a high level caution on dealers when examining their cash flow and being so that way they can be nimble on the fly. I still believe that your local market is going to demand what you need to be an expert in. Now, dealers' local markets have certainly grown as we're getting, you know, further down the road in the age of consumers being willing to travel much further distances to get that piece of inventory that is right for them today. But they still have their niche market that they're experts in, and so I don't want to tell or want to see a dealer that's up in truck country, for example, say, well, based on affordability and what consumers are saying they can purchase and buy, I need to flip my game into going into affordable pre-owned cars. that's just not the case. Because that market is still going to demand and need that truck inventory. So how are you going to change your strategies to Mike's point? Who are you going to partner with? What stocking softwares and technologies do you need to invest in to still be able to meet and obtain the inventory that your market is demanding that you have to be successful? But I will back all that up again to emphasize, I'm going to stress to dealers, to 2025 is going to be a year of having a heavy examination of cash flow and ability to purchase and be able to change strategies within that vehicle segmentation on the fly.
Yeah. Real-time retailing using real-time data. That's my takeaway.
I guess I could have just said
that.
Let
the data tell you what you need to have in stock, what your customers are looking for in your own backyard and any markets in which you are willing to stretch into for a distance retailing strategy to deliver. Be ready, have the right cars, price them right, and have the right marketing strategy to get those in front of the right consumers to sell as many cars as possible. So as we start to close out this incredible post-election episode, one that I hope that every dealer and OEM listener took notes from, and more importantly, will take immediate action from, I have one last question for you both. What is your top takeaway from everything that you've shared and everything that you're hearing and seeing across our tens of thousands of clients to close out the year strong and for our dealers to rock it in 2025? Our acronym of the year for 2025 is ROCK, which we'll get to in the next episode. But first, Micah, I want to start with you. What's that biggest piece of advice?
Mine, as it has been for the last little stretch, is be sharp on appraisal. Where you buy the car determines where you can sell the car. And as we're in a world of gross compression and in a world where consumers are coming in with more negative equity, you've got to be sharp on appraisal. So that's all about ensuring that you accurately identify damage. You know, we know that over 31% of dealers miss recon amounts by more than $1,000, and that's obviously going to impact your gross when front end gross on a used car is averaging around 14.5 right now. So it's being accurate on recon, being accurate in the way that you communicate it to the customer, and then being accurate with your pricing. It's all about that in your stocking strategy. If you do that right, you can have the right mix of inventory for where you need to be in market.
Well said. David, big piece of advice for our listeners.
So in line with Micah, sharpening that appraisal line, stocking strategy, having the most intense stocking strategy that you've ever had. That is what 2025 is going to be. And I want to back that up by saying embrace technology. I'm going to say that to our independent dealers. We have to embrace technology to move forward. It is either going to be an evolve or die scenario with all the changes and unknowns. And as this automotive market in its current state, in this gray area we were talking about earlier, is ever fluctuating, we have got to embrace technology to be the most professional go-to-market experts that we can be in comparison to so much competition that is out there. So it's going to be our dealers that embrace technology to help them be sharp with those appraisal pencils and to have that best stocking strategy that are going to be our true winners that we see come out on top in 2025.
You've got it. Great advice. Dealers that use data as part of their daily operating control will be the winners in the shakeup and ongoing ever-changing dynamics of this amazing industry. And so that wraps it up for today. A big thank you to you, our subscribers and followers, for watching or listening to this episode and prediction-packed and example-packed conversation on Unjaded for the Road Forward. And I have a special announcement that you are the first to hear, that we are now also live on Apple and Spotify. That's right. So due to the overwhelming success over the past year of this series, you can now listen weekly to our newest episodes as well as access all of the previous episodes. And I am so grateful to you for making this happen and showing that there is a real need to cut through the noise with consumable, brief, hard-hitting, real-world automotive content on the hot topics that matter in our ever-changing industry. Also, don't forget to go to b2b.autotrader.com/unjaded for the road forward, where you can sign up to be one of the first to hear when a new episode is released each week, as well as be surprised with subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year that you will not want to miss. And we're going to have some big ones coming up in early 2025. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, and I appreciate you for joining us for Unjaded discussions with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they are currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. Be sure to tune in next week because, as always, we'll continue to cut through the noise to drive real results for you.